pray. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege. We thank you for the opportunity to hear from heaven. We thank you for your holy written word. We thank you tonight for the great teacher, the mighty Holy Spirit. We trust him to unveil and unfold the word of God unto our spirits. We give you all the glory, all of the honor, and all the praise, Lord. We trust you and exercise our faith for divinely granted utterance, that we may open our mouths boldly and make known the mysteries of things pertaining to and of the Holy Ghost, and how they exalt Jesus as Lord of all. In Jesus' name, all to the glory of God. And everybody said,
amen,
amen. Amen. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13 and 14 is where we're majoring during the summer school of the Holy Spirit. Now, it says, now concerning spiritual gifts, I'm reading out of King James, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Everybody say, don't be ignorant.
Don't be ignorant.
So, I'm reading out of a book, too, from Smith Wigglesworth, calling concerning spiritual gifts. And he says this, there is a great weakness in the Church of Christ because of an awful ignorance concerning the Spirit of God and the gifts he has come to bring. Now, listen to this. God wants us to be powerful in every way because of the revelation of the knowledge of his will concerning the power and manifestation of his Spirit. He desires us to be continually hungry and receive more and more of his Spirit. So Kenneth E. Hagin often said, receiving the infilling of the Holy Spirit, or the baptism, however you want to call it in that regard, is the entryway into the things of the Spirit, into the realm of the Spirit. Now, we exist in these realms, and we exist in the natural realm, but we also exist in the spiritual realm. So we need spiritual equipping. We need spiritual guidance. We need to have understanding of things pertaining to and of the Holy Spirit. Now, he goes on to say that a man who has received the baptism or the infilling of the Spirit and is satisfied has settled down and become stationary and stagnant. And he said, I would prefer a man who is baptized in the Holy Spirit and still hungry for more of God. A man who is not hungry to receive more of God is out of order in any Christian conference. And he goes on to say, it is impossible to overestimate the importance of being filled with the Spirit. It is impossible for us to meet the conditions of the day, to walk in the light as he is in the light. 1 John 1:7, to subdue kingdoms and work righteousness and bind the power of Satan, unless we are filled with the Holy Spirit. We read that in the early church, Acts chapter 2, verse 42. Write that scripture reference in Acts 2:42. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers. So it's important for us to continue steadfastly in the same things. Amen. So he said, don't be ignorant. Everybody said, don't be ignorant. God wants us to understand spiritual gifts, to earnestly desire the best gift, 1 Corinthians 12:31. And to enter into a more excellent way, the way of love, of the fruit of the Spirit. We must implore for these gifts. Now, we is both individual and collective. We are to implore and desire and covet earnestly these best gifts. Now, what do you think it means when it says covet earnestly? That means we got to want it real bad. So if we go around and did a spiritual pulse check of everybody and say, do you want the gifts and manifestations of the Holy Spirit real bad? How hot is your desire for things pertaining to and of the Holy Spirit? Amen. Now he's talking to the church. So the church has to have a posture in attitude and purpose of heart to say, we want more of the Spirit. We want more of the moves and manifestations of the Holy Spirit. We want more of the glory of God.
Amen.
Amen? So it's a serious thing that it's a serious thing, Smith Wigglesworth said, to have the baptism and yet be stationary. To live 2 days in succession, listen to what he says, pretty strong statement here, on the same spiritual plane is a tragedy. We must be willing to deny ourselves everything to receive the revelation of God's truth and to receive the fullness of the Spirit. Only that will satisfy God, and nothing less must satisfy us. Amen. Now let's continue to read. We'll read in verse 2 and 3. 1 Corinthians 12, you know that you are Gentiles, carried away with these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now, you got to remember, friends, and I'm reading again from Smith Wigglesworth, just another little section here. Many evil, deceiving spirits have been sent forth in these last days who endeavor to rob Jesus of his lordship and of his rightful place. Many people are opening the doors to these latest devils, such as new theology, new thought, Christian science, so forth and so on. And these evil cults deny the fundamental truth of God's word. They all deny eternal punishment, the deity of Jesus Christ. They will never see the baptism of the Holy Spirit come upon them. You'll never see the baptism of the Holy Spirit come upon a man or woman who has accepted these errors. Nor will you see anyone receive the baptism who puts Mary in the place of the Holy Spirit. No one can know that he is saved by works. If you ever speak to someone who believes this, you will know that he's definitely not right on the matter of the new birth. Praise God. Now, John, I want you to put up on the screen Mark 8:15. We're going to look at that. Mark 8:15. Write that scripture reference down in your notes. Now, let's all read that together. Ready? Read. And he charged them, saying, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod. Okay, write that down. And then write down Matthew 16:6. Matthew 16:6. If you put that up there, John, please. Matthew 16:6. All right, let's all read that together. Ready? Read. Then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. Now, I want you to write down all three words that Jesus said beware of. Write down Pharisees, Herod, and Sadducees. Now, we know Jesus didn't just say anything for no reason. Now, if he told you and I to beware of it, we need to be aware of it. Now, leaven just means like yeast effect on dough and bread, flour, and your water. It makes it rise and change. Doctrine is the same way. Now, he's giving us in verse 3 of chapter 1 Corinthians, no man can say Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Now, the Psalms tell us that one of the Messianic Psalms tells us, emphasizes that the Lord, he is God. Now, one religion is very famous. They have initials, JW. And JW, they usually say, Lord, Jesus is Lord, little L. But one way you can kind of get them, you know, they come to your door sometimes, and we should be going to the doors. That's a good place to say amen. And then you just say, okay, Jesus, you say, Jesus is Lord. And they say, yes, he's Lord, little L. Now, he said, no man can say Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now listen to me. Lord is the same name, Hebrew name, that they got for Jehovah or Yahweh or the unspeakable name, the name of God, the God's personal name. And that meant God. God is just a word that got evolved from Europe, in Germany specifically. So the Bible tells us in Psalms that the Lord, he know ye not that the Lord, he is God. Amen. And he's the only God.
Amen.
And so one way to say is, okay, can you say Lord Jesus is Lord God? And some of them, you know, some they say, I can't say it. You can't say it but by the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
You can't say Jesus is Lord God but by the Holy Ghost. See, people don't believe in the deity of Jesus. They believe Jesus is a good prophet. Jesus had great teaching, but Jesus didn't come to just give us lessons. He came to give us life.
Amen.
What they do with Jesus matters. That he is the pivotal key to determine good doctrine or bad doctrine. Do they exalt Jesus as Lord God? Amen.
Amen.
And so you see them, they say, I can't say it. No, you can't say it. You know, can you say it? No, can't say it. They can't say it because they need the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the agent of salvation. He's the only one that can touch people's hearts where they can say through the act of their own volition and the belief of their own spirit, say, Jesus is Lord.
Amen?
Amen? So he told us to beware of the leaven. Leaven means doctrine, just like yeast. And bad doctrine is like poison in your pot. When the prophet of God had cooked a pottage, a stew or porridge, oatmeal, we just call it oatmeal today, just so we can all relate to it. So he mixed a bowl of oatmeal, and the people started eating it and said, it's poison in the pot. Well, the poison is this doctrine. And feeding bad doctrine causes bad things to occur. Now, let's talk about the Pharisees. Everybody say Pharisees.
Pharisees
represents religious tradition. Jesus said, through your traditions, you've made the word of God of none effect. That will neutralize and negate the effect of the word of God in your life. Religious tradition. It's really the spirit of religion. Brother Hagin used to always tell us the spirit of religion and the spirit of homosexuality is one of the two toughest and most rancid spirits. We're going to talk about demons next month, okay? So I'm just giving you a little forte. But the most rancid spirits you have to deal with. Spirit of religion is a booger bear. It's legalism. It's religious correctness. So some people try to be religiously correct, just like they political correct. They try to be religiously correct. You go on the error on the left side of legalism, or on the right side of legalism. I used to always say right side of legalism. Where you become just all about rules and law. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. Okay, the doctrine of Herod is the spirit of the world. Herod was the king. There's several Herods in the Bible. Herod the Great, you know, boom, boom, everybody had that name. But during Jesus' day and during Paul's day. And so this is the spirit of the world. This is the spirit of lawlessness. King James calls it lasciviousness. Lawlessness means everything's loosey-goosey. Everything goes. So that's the left side. That's the wild side. And then there's the spirit of, these are teachings now. Now, how did they teach you? Main way is through TV, media. You listen to negative stuff, it'll dull and desensitize your spirit now. And it won't even bother you. Amen. It won't even bother you when people take their clothes off on TV. It won't even bother you when cuss words come roaring out like a blue streak. Amen. And then, of course, the other one was the spirit of Sadducees. The spirit of Sadducees, the main thing, they didn't believe in the supernatural. They wanted to be comfortable and say, well, we don't believe in the resurrection. We don't like all these gifts and manifestations, so we just want to have nice church. And that's what creeps in. People just want, okay, Holy Spirit, don't move. Don't act up today. I'm not going to yield to the Holy Spirit. Well, you know, Sadducee doctrine teaches that anti-spirit, anti-supernatural, against the supernatural. Doesn't take all that. Well, praise the Lord. Let's keep going. Verse 4, 1 Corinthians 12, 4. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministrations, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operations, but it's the same God who worketh all in all. But, verse 7, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. Now, we find three things he's telling us. Ministrations, gifts, manifestations. And so we find that the Holy Spirit, the word gifts is charisma. We get charismatic or charismas, gracious, joy, gift. Everybody's has a spiritual gifts. And they fall with under one of these seven categories. Prophecy, this is outlined in Romans. Romans chapter 12, and in Ephesians 4, 7. Romans chapter 12 lays out prophecy, seven gifts. Ministry or serving gifts, teaching. This is not the same as teachers, but teaching. There's a grace gift to exhort or encourage. There is a giving gift of grace. People have a ministry of giving because they have the gift of giving. Distribution. Make money to give money. Amen. Rules. Rulership or management. Leadership. Gifts. And then, of course, show mercy. Compassion gifts. Amen. And then there are different administrations, but the same Lord. So these ministry gifts are the doma gifts. Domaticos, these are the fivefold ministry gifts. These are ruling gifts, dominion gifts. So we have the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher. And we'll get into those a little later on this month. And then, of course, the ministries in the local church. So we see there's ministries in the local church. And there's a lot of scriptures, so John will put them on the screen for us. Thank you, John. These are seven prominent ministries in the local church by the anointing and help of the Holy Spirit and the grace of God working through all of us as believers. Number one is the ministry of the word. These are ministries. Number two is the ministry of prayer. There's a prayer ministry that should be active and operative and functioning and flowing strongly. The word and prayer are very important, vital ministries. Number three is the ministry of reconciliation. The Bible tells us that we all been given by God the ministry of reconciliation. Everybody say, I'm in the ministry.
I'm in the ministry.
So you have to understand that, hey, I'm in the ministry. This ministry of reconciliation means I have a word of reconciliation, that I have the capacity, capability, and calling to go reconcile people back to God. We call it evangelism and discipleship. Praise God. Amen? All right. So number four, the ministry of reconciliation. So when we see people run away or go astray, we which are spiritual, Galatians 6:1, go restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. So we don't look at people and say, man, what's wrong with them? How come they're acting up? No, you pray and the Holy Spirit may use you as an instrument in the ministry of restoration. Amen. God doesn't want his children to run away and get lost and stay unfound, unkept. All right. Number five, many of us are familiar with it, the ministry of helps. The ministry of helps. It says in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 28, helps. It's not a natural thing, it's a spiritual thing. This is a ministry of helps. Everybody say, I'm in the ministry. All right. And then number six, the ministry of encouragement. The ministry of encouragement. So that people have a ministry to encourage others. Now, simple definition. The Bible does not give permission to be discouraged. If you've been reading through Kings, you see Elijah after Mount Carmel got discouraged. Then he got depressed. It's a big deal. God didn't say, what are you doing in a cave? You're not supposed to be in a cave. And that's what most people do when they're discouraged. They run and hide in a cave. You're supposed to be on top of the mountain, not the cave. Amen. Making an analogy, people run into the cave and bury their gifts because they want to hide. They don't want to show their gifts and display their gifts and develop their gifts. So, in other words, God's saying, you're supposed to be encouraged. It takes courage to do the will of God. It takes courage to step out in faith in your spiritual giftedness and begin a journey of displaying your gifts and developing your gifts. You know, the gifts and calling of God are irrevocable. That means God doesn't take them away. All we do is either bury them or we bring them up to display them or to develop them. And God wants us to do both of those, to display and develop them with our quality decision that, God, you're going to use me. Use what you put inside of me. Amen? Because they're supposed to be ministry to the body. Our calling, one of our primary calling, is to the body. You're not saved to sit. Amen. You're saved to serve. Amen? Praise God. And so these are the gifts. And then the last one, also, so encouragement, is to put people back into courage. Some people have a ministry to, on occasions, call people up and give them a right word in due season. It might take a few minutes. It might take an hour. But your ministry is to encourage. To get, what is the purpose of it? To get people back into courage. Where they start doing the will of God for their life. Amen? It's not just to make people feel better. It's to get people moving in the right direction. Number seven, the ministry of comfort. The ministry of comfort. This is when people have been hurt or people have been harmed. When people have been hurt or they have been harmed through tragedy, loss, or grief of some sort, the comfort ministry goes into action. You know, another thing you could say with the ministry of comfort is when people are going through hard times. Ministry of comfort goes into action. Hard times, hurt, and pain, and been harmed, usually by others. And they're hurting. I mean, they're suffering. The bullet wounds are in their back. The snake bites, the venom is still in their calf muscle. Y'all know what I'm talking about, right? And so now they need comfort. Amen. One of the main names of the Holy Spirit, King James, called the Comforter. Amen. And he comforts us so we can comfort others who are going through tough times, hard times, been hurt, or been harmed. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. All right, so let's look at verse 7 again, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another divers kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of them. But all these worketh in that one and self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he wills. Now I want you to look at verse 7 and 11. He said the manifestation is given to who? Every man. Everybody say every man. Every man. What's the purpose? To profit everybody. The manifestations are given to every man to profit with all, to profit the entire body. Look at verse 11. But these worketh on that one self-same Spirit divided to who? Every man as who wills. The Spirit chooses, or the Spirit wills. The Spirit decides, the Holy Spirit decides who gets what manifestation. Amen?
Amen.
Now let's look at verse Ephesians 4, 15 and 16. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in him in all things, who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by every part does its share, causes the body for the edifying of itself, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. So what are the things we learn? We are compacted together. Now, John, if you can put that in a New Living, and we'll read it together up there. Put verse 15 in the New Living. Let's read that together, two verses. Instead, we speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. Praise God. Isn't that beautiful? So one of the things we must realize, number one, is this. We've been knit together in Jesus. Once the covenant's been made between you and God, and Jesus is your Lord and personal Savior, then you're part of the body of Christ. No. You're never a single person again. That's why isolation and independence, as we talked about in our families, is so bad. You can't call your own shots anymore. You're not your own. You're bought with a price. We comprehend God together. Isolation and independence is never God's plan for us. There's no hero ball in the body of Christ.
Amen.
Some people try to do it, and they, you know, just like the NBA, they lose. Amen. The body is our divine calling. So you have to see that this is my calling. We're looking out here and across the world as our calling as a local body is each other. To minister to Jesus, the body is the calling of every joint of the body. The ministry of the body is reconciliation, that we look to be a blessing and a benefit and a build-up to the body. We look to be a blessing, a benefit, and a build-up to the body. Amen. I'll say it one more time. We look to be a blessing, a benefit, and a build-up to the body. We don't come with vague fog thinking. We come on purpose with intention to be a blessing, a benefit, and a build-up to the body. In the tongues chapter, we'll get there in next month, chapter 14, it says, you know, for us to prefer prophecy, because prophecy edifies the church. And the tongues edifies yourself. So a lot of times when we pray individually, we're building ourselves up. Why? So we can build and bless others.
Amen.
Amen. We're saying things under the inspiration and impact of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I'm not just running my mouth for no reason, because words are powerful.
Amen.
Amen. I must be intentional with my words, that I want to be a blessing to the ones who hear me. I want to be a benefit to the body parts that are around me. I want to be a build up to the body I'm in.
Amen.
Amen? Everybody say, the body is my divine calling. So don't get up there and tell the Lord when we get raptured, I didn't know about that. I'm up there, I'm going to ask the Lord, I'm going to wink, wink at the Lord. Say, wink, wink, let me go over and slap him upside the head. I'll give him a love tap. All right. The manifestations of the Holy Spirit. Now, we learned in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7 and 11, given to every man, divided to every man, right? The manifestations of the Holy Spirit are given to minister to Jesus by ministering to the body. They're given to profit who? Everybody. They pump Jesus up. They put Jesus up. They don't pump or put you up. Amen?
Amen.
It should exalt Jesus and proclaim Jesus as Lord. Amen? So why do you need to flow in manifestations? Because you're ministering to Jesus by ministering to one of his body parts or a few of his body parts. Because you're doing it as unto the Lord. Are you listening to me? That's why you can't just always come out of your mind and out of your intellect and think that's going to help somebody. Because the Bible says knowledge puffs up, but love builds up.
Amen.
You're doing it out of a motive of love. I'm doing this for their benefit, for their good. I'm speaking the word of God because I'm looking at their need, their spiritual need. Praise God. Now let's go back and look at Ephesians 4, 15 and 16 again. So we see here in this verse, what do we see? Two keys. How do I make increase or contribute to the increase of the body? Well, everyone brings their supply. What does he say? Every knit together by which every joint supplies. Now, you study the body just a little bit. You know that when joints are connected, there's the marrow that gives life to that joint. There's a supply that's made. When you're out of joint, that supply dries up. Joints get brittle.
Yes.
You get hurt. So everyone has a supply to make. Everybody say, I have a supply to make. And so he gives us a key when we're compacted, fitly joined together, and compacted, we make supply. Now, we don't realize this, but we are. When we've been placed by God in the body, we are spirit to spirit firm with him and with each other. And so this spirit to spirit firmness, it allows us and it gives us an avenue in which we can supply to one another because we're connected or we're knitted together. Now, I can cut off the supply line through my words and my actions or my inactions. Everybody say, I have a supply to make. Now, ask yourself this question. Have I made my supply today? Did I make it Sunday? Now, most people think, well, I brought my offering. That's only one type of supply, and that's not the highest level. Well, praise the Lord. Supply is, write this down, number one, spiritual supply. Spiritual supply. That's my prayer. That's employing my gifts and graces, the anointing, and manifestations of the Spirit. Everybody says spiritual supply. That's prayer, gifts, graces, anointing, and manifestations of the Spirit. So, you know, at least I can do is pray for everybody. If I've gone days, weeks after weeks, and I hadn't lifted up nobody else in prayer, then it's going to be difficult to make a supply, a prayer supply. Because when you pray for people, that spirit, there's no time or distance in the spirit. There's a connection that gets strengthened and a compassion that gets heated up. A compassion is intense, eager yearning to do good to someone. Amen? If we come in here and we shaking hands and hugging like the first church of the Frozen Chosen as an indication, they ain't praying for me. They ain't praying for each other. Y'all don't shout me down. I'm almost finished. Spiritual supply, prayer, gifts, graces, anointing, and manifestations. All right? Natural supply. Everybody say natural supply. That's your talent, your abilities, your education, and your experience. You bring that to bear. To do what? To build up the church. To benefit the church. To bless the church. You don't brag and put the spotlight on you. Hey, look how good I am. Look how great I am. I got these tags behind my name. I got these certifications. And, you know, it's a privilege to be used by. No, you've gotten into isolation and selfishness or focusing on the wrong side. It's to be a blessing to the body. Be a benefit to the body. To build up the body. Amen? Exalt Jesus as Lord. Then there's a resource supply. That's your time, money, material, and equipment. We often said the best ability is what? Availability. That means I put in my time and put in the work. One of the most precious commodities all of us can give the Lord through the local church is our time. Amen. Your time coming to church on Wednesday night is valuable time. Your time volunteering is precious time. Amen. God remembers even a cup of cold water done in his name. Amen. And he remembers the time you put in. Now, there's money, right? Money represents your labors, a portion of your labors. Amen. Money and then material equipment. And then, of course, the second key is this, number two. Everyone works effectively. King James says effectually. New King James says effectively. Everyone has to work effectively. What is it? Give me some feedback. Let's dialogue a little bit. What does effectively mean? Somebody give me a give me a concept of what working effectively means. Just raise your hand or shout it out. Okay, working effectively. What does that mean? What does it mean for you to work effectively or us to work effectively? Go ahead, Tristan.
You're getting the maximum output.
Okay. Maximum output. I like that. That's good. Thank you. Anybody else? Come on. I want a couple more answers. What does it mean? Because we got to get aligned. Some people think, well, doing half due is good. Right? Well, it's I'm only volunteering anyway. I'm not getting paid. Then they feel I don't have to work effectively. Yes, yes, ma'am. Go ahead. Okay. Taking initiation, being a self-starter. Okay. All right. Good. Thank you. Anybody else? Yes, ma'am. Doing things right. Doing things right. Okay. Doing your best, but. Now let's define that, Sister Ola. What's the E word we always say? Starts with E. No, not effort. Because a lot of people pray, but they don't get answers. They put in the effort. EX. Excellence. Don't you think that's working effectively? That I put it, I do whatever I have to do. If it's sweep the broom, vacuuming the floor, amen, straighten out the chairs, I'm doing it what? With excellence. I'm doing it under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and my motive is right toward the Lord. I'm doing it as unto the Lord, but I'm being a blessing to the body. So when people go in after I've cleaned the bathrooms, they're going, man, it's a blessing. Bathrooms are clean. I'm ministering to the body. Amen? Every believer has a place, a grace, a gift, and a part to contribute, increase to the body. So you can ask yourself, just as an own personal assessment with you, between you and the Holy Spirit, what's my contribution to increase in the body? Amen. Now, let's not think donation, because some people think, well, donate my time. You know, charitable organization, you got to donate my time. Yeah, well, we call it, usually that's kind of watering things down. In the body of Christ, we contribute. That means we're putting our heart and soul in it. This is good stuff I'm giving to benefit, to bless, and to build up you.
Amen.
I'm not coming in half-stepping. Amen. Everything you do, from shaking hands to sowing my seed to putting in the time behind the scenes, come on now. Everything's, I'm giving it all I got by the grace and help of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And then we have the gifts of the Spirit, the manifestations. We'll cover those and then we'll close. Real quick, just a segment of them. So these manifestations means to display or to show, but the manifestations of the Spirit, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7, that means to open to sight or to be visible, where it's not something done naturally, but it's done supernaturally. We need, everybody say, we need. The gifts,
yes,
and the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. And so we see revelation gifts, which is the word of wisdom. That's gifts that see future things. The word of knowledge is past and present things that you seal. These are gifts that reveal something. You see something. And then discernment of spirits is not the discernment of devils. It means you see into the realm of the spirit. You see spirit beings. You see angels sometimes. You see demons. Sometimes people have visitations from the Lord. They see the Lord. They see into the spirit realm. They discern spiritual things. Amen. Spirit beings in the realm of the spirit. So those are revelation gifts. So they're broken down kind of in categories. Now I ranked them in order of mention because one of the rules of Bible interpretation is the law of first mention. So once it's mentioned first, it means it takes priority or precedence over the other ones. So when you group them together, the one that was mentioned first was the word of wisdom, having insight on things of the future. Praise God. We can talk more about that. I'll talk more about that next week. And then the power gifts. The power gifts are the gifts that do something. Do something. So you see special faith. Everybody say special faith. Working of miracles and gifts of healings. Plural, plural. Gifts, healings. Well, I didn't put healing, but it should be healings. So special faith believes and receives a miracle. The working of miracle works the miracle. Typical example is when people get raised from the dead. It takes the gift of faith to bring them back and the working of miracles to recover them from what they died by. Amen. And then it might take all three, gifts of healing to heal them if there's a illness situation there. So those are the power gifts, the gifts that do something. And then there's the vocal gifts. And then there's the prophecy. And then there's diverse kinds of tongues and the interpretation of tongues. Not the translation of tongues, but the interpretation of tongues. We'll talk about a little bit more of that next month when we talk about tongues. And then these two equal prophecy. Tongues and interpretation are equivalent to prophecy. So it's just like two nickels equal a dime, 10 cents. Prophecy is the dime, and diverse kinds of tongues is a nickel, and the interpretation of tongues is a nickel. So nickel plus nickel equals 10 cents or a dime. Praise God. So these are the gifts that say something or utter something. Now they're divided. They're given to every man. Now nobody can say, well, I don't want all nine. No, you don't usually get all nine. Don't be foolish. The Holy Spirit wants to begin to manifest it. Now, I'll close with these thoughts or power statements. You have to yield to the Holy Spirit in private to be ever used in public. There are certain gifts that operate in my life more outside the church and inside. Now, I don't know why. I asked the Holy Spirit this recently. Why do they operate outside the church more than inside church? You know, get the word of knowledge. Now, sometimes the word of knowledge operates, it's just like, whoa, I want to shut it off. Because you get to knowing too much. But if God can trust you, he'll use you, continue to use you. Amen. Then there's the word of wisdom that operates. Now, as a pastor, you know, I ask for these. Now, just like Pastor Cynthia prayed for the gifts and manifestations of the Holy Spirit, you don't get them by just praying for them. You have to operate by faith in them. Expect them to come. You have to proclaim them that they are coming. You stir up the gifts. The stir is done with this. This is the stir, your tongue. If you never say, I'm anointed, if you never say, I stir up the gift of God in me, if you never say, I'm stirred up, then the gifts and manifestations never come up. Turn to this last scripture. Well, John, put it up on the screen. Galatians 3:5. I think it's 5, verse 5. Galatians 3:5. If you never stir it up, the gift never comes up. Smith Wigglesworth said, I stretch my faith as far as I go, expecting the Holy Spirit to add to the rest of it to get ministry or the job done. The gifts of the Spirit work on my job. The gifts of the Spirit work when you're ministering to people to the about the Lord. The gifts of the Spirit work in church. So they're not just limited to the four walls of the church. But if you yield in private, then you have a more capability of being used in public because you learn to practice. You learn to practice the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life. Now listen, let's read this. Ready? Read. Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? So I said you need both. You need prayer and preaching or proclaiming or prophesying. See, in other words, you can't just pray and want everything to happen because you pray, but God expects us to do our part, which is to prophesy, to proclaim. Do you remember one of the songs? He said, prophesy like it's done. You say, I'm stirred up. You say, the gift of God operates in me. The anointing of the Holy Spirit. I am anointed, just like Jesus stood up in the church and read Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he hath anointed me, hallelujah, to preach the gospel to the poor. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Nishikoro masi, nekroman diste de mbre etoko sokono, nongre atastien rumistan dengren ustan mbre etoko sokoma. Mambre etoko sokoma, shikebra banani robusti, nene istan bra ohoda. There is access and accessibility for everyone here who hears. But you must step out in prayer and in proclamation of faith without reservation and without fears. For I've desired to use all who hear tonight in a greater and more powerful way. But it comes by seeking and earnestly desiring the gifts and taking heed to what you say. So begin to declare and develop these gifts of God in you, and let the stirring power of your tongue bring it up, and step out by faith, and you'll see that the gift and the manifestation will come true.